Thank you, Brother Dan. It's a wonderful privilege to have our brother Sid Jones with us at this convention. Don Pilgrim, and a brother who's thoroughly consecrated to the Lord. And he will have the second part of our convention theme, the role of the ecclesia. And his would be the importance and roles of the members of an ecclesia. Let us see.
Thank you very much, Brother Richard, and also thank you very much for the prayer. Sister Joan and I are, I was going to say, Sister Joan and I are very happy to be here, but I changed my mind. I'm going to say we're delighted to be here. I don't know of any place we'd rather be this weekend than here with you, dear brethren, in convention. This particular convention ends about a month of fellowship and privilege we've had with the brethren, so we naturally bring greetings from various brethren where we visited. We bring greetings from your brethren in Seattle. We were there for their convention, and there was a certain sister there who cornered me and asked that she might bring her special greetings here, and of course that was Joy. So we have done that. Then we returned home for a few days before we started out on another part of our trip. And we bring greetings from your brethren in North Dakota and Minnesota, as well as LaSalle, Illinois. And then we were at the convention, which is nearby the old Bloomington site in Indiana. It's about 25 or so miles from there. A place called Spencer, Indiana. Had a very nice convention there. Those brethren all send their love to you. We were in Clay City, Indiana. Those brethren send their love. And then we were in Ohio, Reynoldsburg. And Sister Penrose especially asked to be remembered to you all. And then in Greenfield, Ohio. So we bring those greetings, but I would like to say that this, the privilege of being here at this convention at the close of this time is very special for us, because it really is a wonderful climax to about a month's privileges of service. And I appreciated very much the warm welcome we received last evening from dear Brother Grillo. And, of course, the opening discourse by our dear brother Ken Rawson. Enjoyed it thoroughly. And then this beautiful lesson this morning from our dear brother Post. I just told Brother Post, how am I supposed to follow you? Now, how could anybody follow Brother Post? So if you knew how small I feel at this moment, because I have the very highest love and respect for dear brother Post, and I just appreciate his great spirit and love for the Lord. But we do have these assigned topics, the four of us today, to discuss the ecclesia and various aspects of the ecclesia. And my remarks will be centered around the function of ecclesia members today, the function. And there are various questions that have been suggested as guidelines to thinking in connection with various aspects of this very wonderful part of our life, our religious life together. And I was wondering where to start this lesson. And really, this is such a grand lesson, and in connection with the very powerful theme text that we have before us, Brother Grillo put that up there last evening, and everybody have a good look at it, because Brother Grillo said what a powerful passage of Scripture that is. I think he used the word awesome, and indeed it is, because the Lord's presence is with us here this weekend. We can feel it. We know the Lord's presence is with us here. And we appreciate each other, and we love you all dearly as we come together for that very special purpose. Because as the promise was, even if there are only two or three, he has promised to be with his people. There were a number of different ways I was going to begin this lesson, but I'm going to take a part of a passage from Malachi. And you're going to say, why would you pick a part of the prophecy of Malachi written some 400 years before, or some 300 years before our Lord was born? But in this passage, and it's in the third chapter, and the beginning with verse 15, we'll just paraphrase to introduce the thought a little bit, but within this prophecy, there's just a little thought that suggests just where we are today and just what we're doing right here this weekend. He starts in verse 15 by pointing to the spirit of the world and how utterly different, and this actually is so far from our thinking that we can hardly grasp the worldly spirit. But he tells us how it is just so opposed to the spirit of the Lord and the truth and those who are associated with it. And then in verse 16, and then we're getting closer to the point that I wanted to use to open this discourse with, he says, then they, and I think, brethren, that this is a passage, or this particular part of the prophecy points right down to our own time. Then they, or those who are living at the end of the gospel age, or the harvest, the end of the gospel age, those that feared the Lord. Well, brethren, you are the ones that fear the Lord. You reverence the Lord. You love the Lord. That's why we're here, because we are those who fear the Lord, as the prophet is pointing out here. Those that feared the Lord spoke often one to another. And that's the point that I wanted to use to introduce this part of our lesson. That is the importance of the ecclesia and the role of the ecclesia members. It was spoken of in this marvelous prophecy so long ago, centuries and centuries ago, way back in the distant past. And yet it brings it right down to our time. When we come together, and what do? We speak about the truth, the scriptures. We love each other. We're happy to see each other. And we speak on those things that make us different from everybody else that he spoke about in the 15th verse. But then he continues, and it's so good you can hardly stop here before we continue into the role and function of the members of the ecclesia, but it is so good that I don't really want to stop here. They spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened. The great God of the universe listens, and he puts his promise to his wonderful words, even as he did in the scripture that is our theme for this convention. He hearkened and he heard, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and those who thought upon his name. Oh, brethren, that's you. You're here, and that's why you're here. And you really come from so many different places, a little ecclesias here and there, some two or three, some larger groups, and having the privileges that Sister Joan and I do occasionally to visit with brethren. Sometimes we arrive at a place and there won't even be anyone there to have a meeting. There aren't enough to have a regular meeting, so we just discuss the scriptures, answer questions, and things like that. The point is that even with the twos and threes, The role of the Lord's people, wherever you find yourselves, in large ecclesias or small ecclesias, some ecclesias maybe only two or three, sometimes an older brother or sister left all alone, even in a nursing home perhaps. And I think Brother Ken mentioned that last evening, the great privilege it is to visit these brethren who are isolated in nursing homes, for example. And I appreciate that thought very much, because this is part of our role. Part of our function of the Lord's people called out from this world today. But the prophecy doesn't stop there either, because it really tells us who our Lord is talking about. He says, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels or my special precious treasure, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." There's an awful lot that could be said about this prophecy, but we want to keep it within the confines of the subject at hand, being the role and function of ecclesia members. And the word ecclesia, our brother Post suggested earlier in his discourse about the congregation, which it is, but it also has the thought of calling out. The ecclesia really is composed of that congregation that is called out. And, of course, we're called out of darkness, aren't we? We're called out of darkness and out of a sin-sick world. So this word ecclesia and those scriptures that center around the use of this word are very important, because they are addressed to those who have been called out of the darkness of this world, as the prophet pointed to in verse 15 of this prophecy, those who have the worldly spirit. But we've been called out of that, out of the world. And, of course, we have this marvelous joy and privilege of being a part of this group of called out brethren. And the first time that this word ecclesia, and it's number 1577 in your concordance, the first time that it is used is in Matthew 16. And remember in Matthew 16, particularly in connection with the context of this word used here, begins with verse 13, and it goes really to the 20th verse. Well, we won't take time to read all that, but just to put this word, ecclesia, the first time it was ever used in perspective, and within the context of who was being addressed, and so on. And you will recall that in this passage, our Lord was asking who people thought he was. And, of course, he got a variety of answers. Some thought he was this one and that one, one of the various prophets, and so on, Elijah. But then he addressed this question to Peter. And when he asked Peter who he thought he was, he said, "Well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And this was very important, because our Lord immediately picked up on this. And he said that you didn't learn this by flesh and blood, it's by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. So this is where this calling out, or the use of the word church, or we use the word church instead of ecclesia in the New Testament, but it's really ecclesia, and it has this thought of a congregation, as Brother Post pointed out, but also it's a congregation of those who have been called out of the sin-sick darkness of this world. And then he goes on to say in verse 17, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but only by the Holy Spirit. And then verse 18 says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church," or my ecclesia. And there is the use of this word ecclesia for the first time. Now, up until this time, the apostles didn't really understand very much about our Lord's coming ministry. And they were thinking more along the lines of earthly things. And he was bringing their attention to spiritual things. And the spiritual things those who are called out of the sin-sick and dying world are being called out that they might be a part of this ecclesia, or the church. It's translated church most places. But the word in the Strong Concordance is ecclesia. And it has this thought and connection with this passage. And I love this passage. This must have been a very exciting time. What an exciting time to consider just the context of our Lord and asking who people thought he was, and who those of the called out ones thought he was, and so on. And then for our Lord to say, "Well, I'm going to build my church or my ecclesia. And the first discourse this morning pointed out to those ecclesia members, those who were involved in the early church and all of their experiences and so on, a very wonderful lesson in connection with those experiences. But our Lord said to Peter, I will build my church or my ecclesia, and there is that word. And then he goes on to say other things that we won't take time to discuss here and now. But to keep all of this within the context of the basic question of our lesson, we have a look at Ephesians, the first chapter, and it's also repeated in one of the other small epistles here, but we'll just look at this one because it puts the whole lesson in perspective, as we see. And as we begin with chapter 1 of Ephesians, and with verse 21. Now, Paul is speaking to these brethren at Ephesus, and he's talking about our Lord Jesus, who had been raised and who is above all other beings, not only here but in the spiritual realm as well. And he goes on to enumerate these various planes of life, even in the spiritual life, that we know nothing about or very little. So in verse 21, he said, he's far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And these are all various kinds of spiritual beings that possess these various qualities, characteristics. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So our Lord Jesus is going to be at the very top of all of this spiritual realm that the apostle is talking about. Of course, the Heavenly Father will be above that, our Lord also. But he is putting this in perspective. But he brings in the word ecclesia, as we will see, in connection with the next verse or two. It says, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to his ecclesia. And of course, the Bible will say the church, but that is the same word that he used back in Matthew chapter 16. That's the same word that tells us that the ecclesia members, those who have been called out and who have the privilege of being a part of this class, and what their function is, what their role is, what their responsibilities are. But our Lord will be the head over this church. And then verse 23 says, which is his body. So it connects the body with the church and, of course, the ecclesia. I appreciate the thoughts in the first discourse this morning in connection with the temple and the fact that the temple was the center of religious life. And it kind of drew to my attention that we're really in a tabernacle condition here. So those things that are relative to the tabernacle are very relative to our experience. And I was thinking, as Brother Leo was speaking earlier in connection with the temple and those wonderful lessons that we have with that, but we also have marvelous lessons with the tabernacle. The tabernacle was the very center of religious life in Israel. The typical people, Israel, that was the center of their life. That was the center of their community. And we have all kinds of scriptures that tell us that God's presence was with them. We won't take time to look these scriptures up. You know these scriptures. Our Lord dwelt with the people of Israel. And when he dwelt in their camp, that meant that the camp was holy and was a holy place. And I was equating the fact that this is a holy place. When we opened this morning and the chairman referred to this as being a holy place and how the Lord's presence was here, and it is. But the Lord is also present with your various ecclesias, no matter where you are, whether you're with a large class or a small class, as we see from our theme text. the Lord's presence is with you all in this arrangement of the Lord's people. So your role then is to be a part of this activity during the present time, to use your talents to bring forward those things that would be elevating to each other as well as yourself. There was one scripture that comes to mind that kind of puts it all together, at least for me. And it's in Isaiah chapter 4 and verses 5 and 6. It kind of puts all this together, because in Israel, their tabernacle was the center of their whole religious life, just as the as our ecclesias are the center of our religious life, our spiritual life. And in verses 5 and 6 of Isaiah 4, the apostle puts all these symbols all together in this little passage. And we'll use this as an example where we could use many others, as you can realize. The Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and a smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night. Now, of course, these references take us back to a very beautiful experiences that the Jewish people realized by having the Lord's presence with them. And as they met in the center of their religious activity, they had God's presence with them. But it doesn't stop there either, because it goes on to say, "For upon all the glory shall be a defense." And then verse 6, "And there shall be a tabernacle." And the reason I use this scripture is because we're in a tabernacling condition as we are walking together in newness of life, because there is a goal to reach, and we're in the tabernacle and all the various aspects of the tabernacle, and the lessons thereby teach us all these marvelous spiritual things, because we see a spiritual lesson in it. But we also see the beauty in the valley of the shadow, as we see even in this passage. "A tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covering or a hiding place from storm and from rain." There's so much in this passage. We could talk the whole entire time just on this passage, but we only use it as an illustration to suggest that God's presence was with his typical people Israel. And there was a special place where he said he would be present with them, and he was. When they sojourned and the cloud stopped, they erected their tabernacle. And immediately the Lord's presence was with them over the tabernacle, as we all know, without getting into so much discussion with this particular part of the passage, which I'd really like to do. Well, we'll have to move along, because we want to talk about the function and the role of all of you brethren, wherever you are from and whatever ecclesias that you're from, and the opportunities and responsibilities you have, especially in the day in which we live. So I would say then one of the basic responsibilities that we have is to help and our desire to complete the church. We want to be part of this church, the ecclesia. And it is our responsibility to help each other to do that. So I would say that one of the fundamental roles or responsibilities of those called out ones at the present time is to assist in completing the church. Because when the church is completed, this part of the wonderful plan of God will be completed, and then available for the uplifting of the whole world of mankind, to say nothing of what is beyond that. How wonderful and grand and awesome is that thought, to not only share in the uplifting of this world, but to share in whatever God has planned for the church in the future. Study the truth. It's our responsibility to gather together in our various ecclesias. That would be a fundamental role or function or responsibility, is to study the truth. And as we study the truth, we want to do it on scriptural lines. So we elect elders to do that. And we elect deacons. Brother Post drew that to our attention in his remarks this morning. And I might add, this is a parenthesis, because I love Brother Post so very much. You may remember the time about 40 years ago in the New York Ecclesia. You were one of the 12 elders, and I was one of the two deacons at that time. That's why if I feel a little small up here, there's a good reason why. But we all have the responsibility to select from our fellowship those who are in our immediate area to elect elders, because this is scriptural, and we do that. And as he pointed out in 1 Timothy chapter 3, you know these scriptures. There are seven scriptures that devoted to the qualification of the elders, and then the next few, I forget exactly, on 6 or 7 verses about qualifications of the deacons. And they're similar in many respects. But the basic thing is that we have a responsibility to elect people of sound character and sound understanding of the scriptures, those who are totally devoted to the Lord and His and this great calling that we share, totally consecrated. We can tell whether a brother is totally consecrated or not. We know whether he's a novice or not, and we want to be careful not to select those who might be hurt by bringing such a privilege upon them when they were not ready for it. That goes back to the 40 years ago when I was a deacon in the class and Brother Post was the elder. And this is a very important point to make, because this is the basis of all the scriptural background of how a class should be put together, is to have those who would serve with the proper character, a desire to be wholly devoted to the Lord, of sound character, but also to apt to teach. They have to have the ability to teach the scriptures to others and be helpful. As the lesson last evening in Brother Ken's discourse, how we help one another and lift one another up and to share in the great bonds of love, as he drew to our attention. It was wonderful, and I appreciate it because it fits right here. And I believe that the law of love will be prevailing among those who are of this particular character and desire to serve the Lord. The law of love is the basis. But we also have other privileges and responsibilities in this function of being a part of a class, members of a class. When we come to meetings, we want to be prepared. This is a place where the Lord is going to be present. And when we come there, we want to know what the lesson is about. We want to prepare ahead of time, to be prepared with our thoughts and bring up scriptures and to discuss. This is our responsibility, to be prepared when we come to the meetings. No matter what kind of a meeting would be, whether it's a volume study or a Bible study or a testimony meeting or even a business meeting. We want to come prepared with a proper spirit of love and tolerance. That's one of our basic roles, that we do those things that are scriptural, those things that are taught to us to be a part of this grand plan. And, of course, the thought was mentioned, a care of the children. This is a basic, fundamental responsibility that those who have children have in this day and age. And I think it's a great blessing to all of us here that there are certain brethren here at this moment who are taking the young people and teaching them scriptural things, so that we here can study together and to learn and sit at the feet of Jesus Well, they are doing the same at a lower level as children. And I appreciate that very much. Anyone who can take a group of little children and do such marvelous things with them, to teach them and to help them and to give their, to address the important things in their young lives is wonderful. And I appreciate it. And this is one of the roles and responsibilities of all of us. And there are other roles that we have. Respect. This is where love comes in. We have respect and love for one another, especially for those who we have elected to serve our various ecclesias. This is a fundamental role that we always respect them. There's also the responsibility of appearance and decorum, things that we take for granted. But with the spirit of the world so rampant everywhere today, we have to be very careful to keep those kind of things in control, to teach our young people these things, respect, appearance, decorum as well. And with those basic rules, the functions of the church, of the ecclesia, the Lord will bless us for that desire to know and to do His will to the best of our ability. There are two passages in the short epistles of Jude that come to mind. And I'm sure they do to some of you too. Earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Well, this is what we study, isn't it? These are the things we study. These are the scriptures, those wonderful truths that were given so long ago. And the brethren all down through the whole gospel age have been brought together with these principles of the earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Much different experience for most of them 1,000 years ago than it is for us now. But this is really what we're doing. We're doing that right here this weekend. We're earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And there's something else that Jude said, and this is verse 20, that we share in the building up of one another in the most holy faith. Not only in ourselves, but with each other. And I love that thought, that we share. The Lord has so arranged it that we have a privilege to share so many things together and with Him. The Apostle Paul puts it all together in chapter 10 of Hebrews, as we will pick his thoughts up in verse 22. This is Hebrews chapter 10. And many of the things that we're talking about and centering around are brought to our attention right here in this context. Let us draw near with a true heart and in full assurance of faith. Are we doing that? Yes, I think so. I think that from the spirit that is manifested here in this room, I think that's true. I think that we are drawing near in full assurance of faith, earnestly contending for that faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And he goes on, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. He's, whether there are two or three or 100, the promise is there. Because he is the one that is faithful, the one who promised. So let us consider one another, to provoke one another unto love and to good works. See, this is scriptural. That's why we can stake our lives on this sort of passage of scripture, because it is so true and so logical and so blessed. Let us consider one another and to provoke one another unto love and to good works. This is positive, and this will receive a blessing. And those who are in ecclesias, small or large, this is the role that we all play, to provoke one another to love and to good works. And then verse 25, does this verse not fit here? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's why we are assembling ourselves together. We keep it positive. not to forsake him, or settling ourselves together, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. And that's why we are elevated higher and higher as we see that wonderful day approaching. I see our time is rapidly moving along. Well, the benefits of being a part of an ecclesia was one of the suggested thoughts to direct our attention during this part of the discussion. The benefits are to do with those things that are scriptural, the scriptural procedure to organize ourselves into groups, elect elders and deacons, scriptural, and those things are the benefits. We receive the benefits by being cognizant of the role that we have to be a part of this. And these are the benefits: to edify and to encourage one another, for mutual love and support. And I'm thinking of coals of fire. You know how much more heat there is when you bring all the coals together. But if you separate them, they soon go out, don't they? So that's a wonderful lesson to keep in mind as we think about our role, that we do the best we can to provoke one another to love and to good works, like coals of fire, that we help one another and to burn more fervently in our love and zeal for the Lord and for each other, that love that we have. Because Christian growth and development is at stake. Also, that it's a privilege to learn responsibility. And as the Lord gives us things that are responsible, tasks to do, and if we do the best we can to do them, we are blessed accordingly. So it's a blessing just to assume responsibilities in your ecclesias. And the benefits will be a very blessed fellowship one with the other, to share in the privileges that the ecclesias have. There are a lot of scriptures that we could read that we won't take time to read, but just to point out, in Romans chapter 12, we have the scriptures on the body that has many, the body with many members. We are a body with many members, and all different. And as the apostle suggests in that passage, different characteristics and different talents. And we identify those and use these to the glory of the Heavenly Father. And of course, the great work of the ecclesia is to bring the opportunity right to home to assist one another, building one another up in the most holy faith. That these are the privilege, the benefits, and this is the work of the new creation. And the witness activities, another part of the direction of the lesson, was that we share together in the witness activity. Whether I've heard of classes that have fair booths and the blessings that they receive from having a fair booth. I think Detroit has this arrangement. Their ecclesia sponsors a fair booth, and they have various kinds of literature. This is a blessing, and it's an effort that the ecclesia makes. It's just one illustration. Myself, I'm associated with the Dawn. I'm associated with those who are at the Dawn and doing what we can to send out the truth the best way we know how, through the Dawn magazine and other ways. This is one of the privileges that we have of witnessing and sending out the truth together. It's a joint effort. And I think there are those here in this very area who share in a very dramatic way in this work. And I have my mind on a very dear sister who shares in a great way the sending out of hope booklets to many, many people. This is a way that the class can all share in this work together. How wonderful. And we thank you for that great joy that must be yours to share in this. So then, as the chairman is here to dismiss us and to close this portion of the lesson, and we will close then with this passage, which is our theme text. Where two or three are gathered together, there am I in their midst of those two or three.
Thank you, Brother Sid. The important roles, the importance of roles of the members of the Ecclesia. Every member of the body of Christ is important and essential, and we cannot do without them. Let's keep that in mind. Every joint supplies something. We have some comments, announcements. The first one is, please be prepared to hand in the yellow lunch ticket as you wait in line. Young people's children ticket is light blue. There will be two ticket takers to expedite fast approach into the cafeteria. So just hand over your tickets to the brethren on either side of you. Also, we have an announcement from our general chairman, Brother Mark Grillo. And he says that the brethren, he would like to have the brethren back in the hall at 1:30. At 1:30, after lunch. And also another announcement is at 1:15, there will be a CO meeting. And that's room 123, where the Sunday school also meet, 123, and we will admonish all the young brethren and some of the young sisters as well, and some of the concerned elders to try to be at that CO meeting. So I think that's all the announcements for now. And now we will sing that beautiful hymn 165.
Richard.
Oh, yes.
That meal ticket is pink.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. 165. All verses. We'll stand at the last verse, and Brother Sid will dismiss us with the Lord's blessing and ask the blessing on the food.
Father, we thank thee for the grand privilege that is ours of being here this day with the others of like precious faith. We thank thee for this beautiful day that you have made for us all. But we would also ask that thy blessing might be for those dear ones who would like to have been here but were unable for one reason or another. Grant them a blessing. And we pray that we may together grow in grace and in knowledge of thy marvelous ways, and we might appreciate more and more the desire to walk in newness of life and to be part of this wonderful calling. And we praise thee, and we pray now that as we will dismiss and have our noon meal and fellowship together, that thy blessing might be with us. And those who have sponsored this wonderful convention, we pray thy special blessing for their labors of love. We thank thee for all things in the precious name of Jesus, and we ask it now in Jesus' name.